if you live in New York, and especially if you live in Brooklyn, as I do, Eugene is ubiquitous. He's like the comedian king of Hipsterville. And wherever you live, you can see him on YouTube explaining how to pick up girls or inventing slogans to promote Canada, all with a pretty straight face that leaves some room to wonder if he's actually kidding. Eugene emigrated from the Soviet Union in the late 1970s when he was 4 years old. Please welcome, ladies and gentlemen, Eugene Merman.
That is all true. Ah, the hipster king. I don't feel it. So I wanted to tell a story. I recently moved to a block and a half in Brooklyn, don't worry. And like anyone, I got cable installed. I had my cable moved. And it was supposed to be installed on April 23rd between 2 and 5. And at 5 o'clock, I called, and I was like, hey, somebody's supposed to come. And they're like, oh, yeah, we entered the information wrong. No one's coming. I was like, what do you mean? They're like, yeah, sorry. I was like, when will they come? And they're like, May 4th. I was like, what do you mean? And they're like, that's it. And I was so annoyed. And but there's like nothing you can... And don't worry, they didn't come May 4th. I was so annoyed, but I was like, there's nothing... Like, I could write them an angry letter and that somebody would get it and just think I was crazy. And I didn't want that. I wanted them to know I was crazy. So what I decided to do is take out full-page ads in New York newspapers with my letter to Time Warner Cable. So in the New York Press and in the Greenpoint Gazette and probably more is my letter to Time Warner Cable right here. My full-page ad. So this is the letter that I wrote them in this ad that I paid for. Dear Time Warner Cable, on April 23rd, I moved and had an appointment with Time Warner Cable to come and install cable, internet, and phone service, and no one showed up. When I called, I was told my appointment was entered wrong and moved to May 4th without anyone calling me. No big deal. Why would a company check with someone to see if they are home on a Wednesday afternoon? Of course they are. Everyone is. Name one person who isn't home on a Wednesday afternoon. You can't. It's impossible because everyone is home. It would be a waste of resources to call and talk to him. Did Stalin ever call people before he arrested them and sent them to die in Siberian work camps? No. Why should Time Warner Cable have a policy that is any different from Stalin's? Did you know that on Yelp, Time Warner Cable has 1.5 stars? That's less stars than Jeffrey Dahmer, who killed and ate people, maybe even had sex with their skulls. I don't really know. Obviously, what I'm saying is untrue because Yelp does not review serial killers. But if they did, his Baba Ganoush would be better than yours if you both made Baba Ganoush, even if his drugged and murdered people. Sorry that got weird. F*** you, I just made you read that confusing thing. To give you an idea of how much I dislike your company, I've come up with plagues I hope God smites your board of directors with. I know he'll only do this if you enslave the Jews, but considering you might have a monopoly in New York City, you sort of already have. Here are the plagues. Awkward. Every board member's cell phone ring loudly announces their weight and also the day they'll die. Bathroom. The constant feeling that you have to go number two, but completely forgetting how. Improv. Your firstborn will want to be a short-form improviser. Popcorn. Your secondborn will smell like hot buttered popcorn. It's not that bad at first, but I bet eventually it will be maddening. Sincerely, Eugene Merman, and probably every one of your customers. Thanks. P.S. On May 4th, I called you and got an automated message saying my appointment was moved to May 10th, but spoke to two representatives who assured me it was still on May 4th. 20 minutes later, I got a call saying the technician called and couldn't reach me and my new appointment would be on May 12th. An hour later, I got a call apologizing and saying my appointment was moved to May 6th. Why does your company act like a controlling, abusive husband on an episode of Law and Order? P.P.S. On May 6th, the very nice professional man came, rang my doorbell, and installed everything. I would feel remiss to not mention that a handful of other employees were also very helpful. However, overall, your company is run like an ill-managed Soviet factory. I bet if Ayn Rand was still alive, she'd write a fun-to-read but poorly argued book about how appalling and inefficient your company is. Please cut it out. Thank you. Thank you.
Eugene Merman.
Yes.
And it's Merman, like Ethel, right?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're very easy.
I'm very easygoing, unless it comes to cable.
Speaking of cable television, you do a show on cable television.
Sure, you make it sound so unimportant.
Called Delocated on the fabulous channel Adult Swim.
Yes, that's true.
Speaking of Hipsterville and your kingship.
Yes.
You play a Russian hitman.
I do.
Named Evgeny Murmansky.
Yeah.
You can answer in longer sentences as well.
I think you're just giving exposition.
I am.
Okay.
And playing him, you speak Russian.
I do.
And thickly accented English.
Yes.
Being a child from Russia, did you have to brush up, or did that just come
naturally? I speak Russian regularly with my parents.
Really?
So, yeah. Yeah, yeah. So I conjugate things poorly sometimes, but what does America know?
Exactly. And for our listeners who haven't yet had the pleasure of seeing that character, give us a little Evgeny.
Do you want me to speak in Russian, or do you want me to say this with an accent? No, it's not. Yeah, I could say something in Russian.
Please.
Вот такие пироги. Which is sort of like an expression.
Hand me the dumpling? No.
No, it's sort of an expression that's like, these are the pies we have.
Uh-huh.
Like, kind of, that's the situation. These are the pierogies. What are you going to do about the pierogies?
Exactly.
You get it.
So you came here as a child.
Yeah.
Your parents, were they happy and eager to turn themselves into Americans?
Yeah. I mean, well, Russia's terrible.
Yeah.
And it's not the best place for Jews, even Jews that are sort of, you know, lighthearted Jews. I mean, and our phones were tapped by the KGB because they thought my dad had books he wasn't supposed to have. But don't worry, he got rid of them. I wonder if he wants me to say that. Anyway, so I think they at some point were like, we should leave, especially when the KGB's recording equipment messed up when my mom was on the phone. She was like hanging up and all of a sudden she heard this high-pitched rewinding sound and then the conversation she just had, like in high speed, like Alvin and the Chipmunks.
That's really bad KGB craft.
Yeah, it's not the... Yeah, they're terrifying but inefficient.
Yeah.
The worst of both worlds.
As a child, new to this country, were you a funny kid immediately?
I think that I was weird and foreign.
No.
Yeah. It was also sort of the Cold War, so it was just a weird time to be a Russian kid in America.
Right. And then when you're like 9 or 10, the president of your new country is suddenly calling your old country the evil empire.
Yeah. I mean, he wasn't wrong, but the kids at school thought I was a spy, which I would make a terrible spy. Yeah. Being openly Russian.
Yes, exactly.
For instance.
Yeah. That would be a clever double reverse trick. It might have worked.
Yes. I don't think they were thinking that I was the most clever spy in the world, hiding as an immigrant.
And how did you find your way to being a professional comedian?
Well, basically, I grew up watching tons of stand-up. I loved stand-up. It was very popular in the 80s. And then at some point, I was like, wait a second, I don't have to be an engineer. And so I, right after high school, basically did stand-up, and then I went to Hampshire College, where you're allowed to create your own major, and then I majored in stand-up comedy.
Wow.
Which, don't worry, I was
America
made fun of
America was very good to you.
I love the American dream.
Yeah.
I adore America. Sorry,
and
I do.
And if you hadn't watched lots of people standing in front of brick walls during the 1980s and hadn't chosen that as a career, what would you have done instead? Would you have been an engineer, for instance?
I probably wouldn't have been an engineer. I think I would have been some sort of weird, eccentric entrepreneur.
Really? So fabulously rich, probably, at this point.
Or fabulously struggling, but always with the heart of the American dream pushing me in new directions.
You are this, A, hilarious comedian, B, this mocker of New York comedy at this point. Are you waiting, however, to become the star of a Judd Apatow movie and have a Hollywood career?
No. I mean, I would happily be in a movie, and if Judd Apatow wanted me to be in his movie, I would happily do it. Mostly what I like to do is, you know, create my own little projects and work on them and do shows with friends, and I don't know. So I certainly wouldn't mind being a wealthy star.
Right.
But I don't care that much.
But this artisanal comedy thing that you have
it's taking over the world.
Well, I see that.
And one cool bar at a time.
Yes. But it obviously, you are happy doing it, right?
Yeah, I really love it.
So unlike the comedian who's supposed to be secretly unhappy, that's not you.
I get sad at night. I'm not like
talk
a
about
jolly...
that. No.
Sometimes I cry. I'm like, I have a range of emotions, but I'm not like a super depressed.
That's good. Yeah.
I feel everything from kind of sad to fairly happy. You know, I get mad when like a like that letter, like I bought ads in newspapers because someone didn't come at the right time and then sort of didn't care about it. So that's how I get angry, and then I turn it into a weird bit. So I don't know what that says about me, but that's how I'm angry. I'm angry like that.
That you're clever and can afford an ad in a small newspaper.
Yeah, and they can get, yeah, I can afford a small ad because I'm on Delocated.
Yeah. Eugene Mirman, thank you very much.
I'm not leaving.